You're listening to the Living Inside Out podcast, and I'm your host, Tulks Arotere. This is episode 88. Welcome to the Living Inside Out podcast, where we believe your mind is the engine room of your life. Episode 88 is The Danger of Self-Consciousness. Thank you for tuning in. If this is your first time, welcome. I am so happy that you've chosen to give me some 20-something minutes of your time. Living Inside Out is the intersection of faith, mindset, and entrepreneurship. And it's ideal for you if you know that you're capable of more, you should be doing a whole lot more, and you've exhausted everything you know and all your resources and you still feel stuck. You know that feeling when you get excited, you're bubbling up with ideas, but the ideas just remain inside you? Well, this is it. This is where you belong. And if you are an OG listener, I have missed you. And I thank you so much for being patient and for coming back. I've just returned from a wonderful trip to Lagos, well, to Nigeria, because I went to Abuja as well. Absolutely amazing. My parents are both in their 80s and thankfully in good health, but I want to see them as frequently as humanly possible. Honestly, if I could, I'd visit for a few days every single month. But this time I spent 2 weeks. My first week was in Abuja and the second was in Lagos. And it wasn't just about going to visit my family, because my brothers are there as well, but it was work too. So the first week I spent in Abuja and the second was in Lagos. I went to do some work on my recently launched career as a transformational speaker. And it was on my journey to this point that I discovered a limiting behavior that has held me back over the years, and that's self-consciousness. But before I get into that, I want to tell you a little bit more about the journey leading to where we stand today, what took me to Abuja, what happened there, and how I came across this very subtle and dangerous trait of self-consciousness. So I had the privilege of speaking to a distinguished audience of governors and senior politicians and leaders of Nigeria at the Leadership Conference and Awards in Abuja. It was held at Transcorp Hilton, which I keep calling Transcorp with a P, only to find out that they drop the P and it's Transco. Okay, I did not know that. And my slot was to deliver a reflection about this young man, or should I say preceding the presentation of the award of a young man called Awalu, who returned a large sum of money that his passenger had forgotten on his bike. You can watch the address on my YouTube channel, which I'll also leave the link in the show notes below. So I used a quote from one of my favorite books, which I've referred to several times, The Alchemist, as my inspiration. I titled the talk, The World's Greatest Lie, because Nigeria is a very religious as well as a superstitious country, and people tend to avoid making difficult decisions and would rather default to fate when it's too much, when it's too heavy, when they're not so sure about the outcome, or they're not ready to face the potentially negative outcome or potentially difficult outcome. We tend to just, like, if it's God's will, you know, we resort to fate, or if it's God's will, if it will be, it will be, and so on. And the world's greatest lie, according to this old man in The Alchemist, says that at a certain point, we stop being responsible for what happens in our lives, and our lives become controlled by fate. And that's not true, obviously, hence the world's greatest lie. So I talked a little bit about it, but as I do for any major speaking event, I prepared as best as I could. And mind you, I was doing all of this preparation and all of this working towards it in the middle of a difficult season. So I the season seems to have just dragged on and on, because I feel like a previous podcast in January, I mentioned it. It just seems like it's one thing after the other, but we'll get there. But I was dealing with that, and, you know, had to also prepare for the talk, and I did my best prepared. It's major. It's my first talk in Nigeria. It's in front of a major and a distinguished audience. It was going to be covered by multiple television stations live, and so on and so forth. So I really prepared. And less than 24 hours to the event, I was informed that my 10-minute slot had now been cut to 5, because the entire program needed to be reduced because the president was due to attend. And I had a migraine. I had a migraine, so I couldn't come up with a new talk, because it wouldn't have made sense to simply truncate what was 10 minutes into 5. There was a beginning, a middle, and an ending, and suddenly I was supposed to make an impact in 5 minutes. I will tell you that 5 minutes is the shortest I have ever spoken in my life, even in class when I was a kid. And it is also the most difficult that I've ever done. So as I approached the stage after being called up, I said a prayer with every step. I mean, that morning I woke up and I said, Lord, just anoint me, because I don't even know what I'm going to be talking about. Event started at 10, 9:30. I had no idea what I was going to say. And that was the source of my nerves. You know, it wasn't because there were people like Peter Obi or Atiku and all them, lots of governors and leaders and all of that. That didn't make me nervous, because humans are humans. And when I'm speaking to people and when I'm communicating, I try to do so authentically. And I know that when you are being authentic, you're communicating not with a title, not with a role, but you're communicating with the core or the soul of the person. And there are no airs and graces where the soul is concerned. Your mind, your soul doesn't care about that. Your soul just wants purity and real talk. And so I wasn't nervous about the people who were there, because I know that whatever it was God will have me say would be impactful for them. But I was nervous because I still didn't know what I was going to say. And I wasn't sure that 5 minutes would do it. And so now let's add to that the heightened expectations of the audience, because they introduced me as TEDx speaker and this, that, and the other. They created a video reel that would undoubtedly have left the audience highly expectant. But guess what? God did speak through me, and the talk went very well. If I've ever doubted my calling or my purpose or my gift of communication, that day all doubts disappeared. Because as soon as I got on the stage and I saw the crowd and opened my mouth in front of all those microphones that were in front of me, all the nerves disappeared and I was filled with joy and vibrancy and intensity and just the certainty that I was at the right place at the right time. Or is it in the right place at the right time? So I learned a lesson, which I shared recently on social media, which is that when you operate in your gift, you are expanded from within. And if you don't operate in your gift, then you're shrinking yourself to fit into a box that the world has made for you. Because your gift infuses you with power. Even if your day job isn't in the area that you're gifted in, for example, you work as a social worker and your real gift is writing, make sure you create time and space to write. Because it is a life force that helps you to think creatively, and it opens your eyes to see the way out of situations you're stuck in, which explains why I find writing to be such a powerful antidote to overwhelm and stress. When I'm stressed, when I'm overwhelmed, I just start writing. I write everything on my mind. I try and write the solution. I write my thoughts. And the minute I start writing, the stress leaves, because my gift is making room for me. And that's the same with you. Whatever your gift is, don't feel that it has to be used in an area of your career for it to be relevant. It doesn't have to be. You can use it as a tool alongside whatever you're doing. Einstein, Albert Einstein, famous great physicist, loved playing the piano and I think the violin as well. And these are the words that he said. He said, "If I were not a physicist, I would probably be a musician. I often think in music. I live my daydreams in music. I see my life in terms of music. And I get the most joy in life out of music." But guess what? He's not known as a musician. He's known as a physicist. Which obviously tells us that we all have multiple gifts, but recognizing that music was a gift of his was a blessing for him because it helped him even as a physicist. So whatever your gift is, if you have left it to the side, if you've procrastinated on using it, I encourage you to dig it up and start to use it. And so after the event, which all the stress left the minute that was done, because my entire preparation was all about that particular day, the outfit I'll wear, the makeup artist, the everything. And my older brothers, I'm incredibly blessed, honestly, family-wise. My brother even had us, booked us into a hotel closer to the place because he lives far from town. Anyway, it was wonderful. It was really good. And then I got invited as a guest on AIT News to talk about advocacy for women. And let's just say that the questions I was asked revealed that we have a long, long way to go in Nigeria when it comes to women's rights. I've left this link, the link to this interview or this conversation in the show notes, and it's also on my YouTube channel. Same day, I got on to Kiss FM Abuja to share all things mindset on an hour-long show called Chicks, and I thoroughly enjoyed it. It was my very, very first time on radio in Nigeria, and I had fun. If we're connected on social media, you will find some clips of that to listen to. And much of this would not have been possible without the help of a dear, dear sister friend of mine, Uju, who I met for the first time in Abuja. And she just was such a blessing, such a great help, guiding me and helping me to navigate this new world of media in Nigeria that I found myself in. So people are just incredibly willing to help is what I found. And talking about media, I keep getting asked about PR. I've been in my business, the Baby Cut Shop, for 16 years, or should I say nursery furniture, because I used to have a different company for 16 years. And I've done my own PR for 14 of those years. Getting the opportunities on television, radio, newspapers in Nigeria was new to me. And in some ways, because it's a different market, the culture's different from here, even though I'm Nigerian and I grew up in Nigeria. I've never engaged with my people as a professional. I've never done it as a businesswoman. So it was first for me, and I've never worked in Nigeria either. But I discovered that the principles are the same as here and as anywhere else. And that was how I was able to get the coverage that I did. So if you are an entrepreneur with a product or service, or you've got a personal brand that you're building and you'd like to learn more about how to do your own PR and get into publications like I've done, then I'm going to be running a workshop/webinar very, very soon. Let me know about it. Let me know if you're interested. There is a cost, but I promise you that the value of what you'll be getting cannot be quantified. So really, you'd be paying a fraction of what it's worth. And I'll teach you everything I did to be featured in countless publications from The Times, The Telegraph, Evening Standard, Vogue, Leadership News, which is a Nigerian newspaper that came out just 2 days ago. And also Good Housekeeping. Good Housekeeping is a British publication, it's a worldwide publication, but we're in the British version, where I will be in the summer edition with Susie and I. You'd find out more about it, but it's going to be a fun one. And so, yeah, I love teaching. I love sharing my knowledge, and I love to see us winning. The workshop will be on Zoom. Let your friends know, and you can send an email to PA@talksarotore.com. So PA, initial P for Papa, A for Apple, @talksarotore.com. Or send me a DM on social media if you'd like to be a part of the workshop. It is going to be invaluable, that I can tell you, because I don't see anybody anywhere else teaching what I'm going to share. This afternoon I had a session with my mentee, and she was telling me, I have a new mentee, and she was telling me that she had spent so much money, gave so much money to somebody to do her PR for her, and the guy took her money, and that's been it. She's never got anything out of it. And that's because PR is not guaranteed press. So I think it's always best you do it yourself. And I do have some secrets, and I'd love to share that. So that was Abuja. Lagos was fun. I appeared as a guest on The Nigerian Hustle, which is a podcast, and really, really loved chatting with Adeoye, the host. And that will be out soon, and I will share once that's out. It was a great long conversation. We had to even cut it short. So if I continue to tell you all about Nigeria, and we haven't even talked about the food, the friends, the love, the nostalgia, the vibe, the heat, we will be here all day. And I won't be able to talk about self-consciousness, which is what today's episode is about. It feels like I've been on a long trip with no internet or phone access, and I'm now dumping everything on you. I can't wait to tell you about my trip. I have one more thing about Lagos. Slow restaurant. Yes, it's called slow as in slow down. My friend took me out for lunch, and it was everything. I had this kale salad, which has refused to exit my dreams. I even emailed them and sent them an Instagram message to tell me exactly the list of ingredients in that salad. That's how hooked I am. And I simply could have just looked on their menu and grabbed it from there, but I didn't, because I was low-key hoping that they'll be so excited and they'll tell me, yes, it's 2 ounces of vinegar and a handful of raisins or whatever was in there. But they didn't. They just sent me to their menu. So I'll be making some tomorrow, and I will tell you how that went. Okay, let's try again. Self-consciousness. Here we go. At the start of the year 2024, I decided that I wanted to live a full and complete life, a joyful life with no gaps by using my gifts. I want to be everything that God has created me to be. I don't want to come to the end of my life and say, I wish I had done that, or I don't want to feel like my time on earth was not utilized properly, or I was a waste of space. So I asked for direction, and God told me exactly what to do. The first was get clarity. Get clear on exactly what you want to do. And I did. I wrote out exactly what I wanted from my heart. No nice words or anything, just a very clear picture of what I wanted. And one way that you can do the same is by writing a day in your life. This is an exercise that we do on my Get Unstuck course. In a nutshell, you just write what your ideal day looks like. You do it in the present tense as though it's already happening. Or it's happening right now, but you put the date in the future. So you start off with, today is the 12th of April, 2025, and I've just woken up, and then you continue. So I got clarity. I became very clear on what I wanted. The next thing was to brainstorm all the people in my space, both old and new contacts, who I believed had access or contacts in the space that I'm walking into. And I did, and my list is still growing. I started off initially with 20 names, and as I got bolder and my mind expanded, it grew. And at the moment, I have about 50 names, and it's still growing. And the final step was to send all of these people a very succinct message with the two things I wanted, the two types of people or organizations that could help me get there. And I wanted them, these people I was sending the messages to connect me. And I was to be very clear again about the outcome I wanted. So I wrote my message from my spirit, refined it over a few days until it was perfect. It was clear, it was shot, and it was to the point. And then it happened. I arrived at a familiar place, a junction. I have been there many times before. It was the place where, having done everything I needed to do to prepare, it was now time to leap. And history revealed that this was also the point where I turned left instead of right in many past projects. The left road is called self-consciousness. And it said, now you want to start bothering people. They will think you're being a pain. They will say, are you the only one? In Nigeria, we say, now only you come. Translation, haven't you done enough? Do you not think that I also want what you want? You're not the only one called to this space. This voice of self-consciousness elevated other people's opinions above my goal. And it said that it was more important for people to like me and have good thoughts about me than for me to achieve my goal. And God said to me, this place here is where you have turned back countless times. But I've reached the end of the road, you see. I've stopped running and I really want to excel. I don't want to excel in someone else's field. I want to excel in mine. I want to do my thing. In that moment, every part of me was co-signed to go forward. I was going to go all the way. The minute that this agreement was made within me, I received a text from a friend inviting me to an event to meet and greet one of the organizations that I wanted to partner with. I hadn't even sent out the messages yet, but because I had purposed in my heart, it was already done. I thought about naming this episode The Benefits of Obedience to God, but there are so many benefits that one story cannot do it justice. But I want to highlight instead what self-consciousness looks like in case it is also plaguing you and holding you back. It sounds logical. It feels justified. It is reasonable. I mean, why would anyone want to bother the next person because they are looking for connections? To defeat self-consciousness, you're going to have to be prepared to be laughed at, mocked, to fall flat on your face, and to fail. You cannot allow the thought of shame or not being celebrated to hold you back. Self-consciousness keeps you in the dark as you strive to protect your image. In fact, it is the opposite of vulnerability. Self-consciousness builds a protective armor around your heart and your ideas, keeping you safe or giving you the feeling of safety, whereas vulnerability strips away all covering, leaving you exposed. But to win in life and business, you must be prepared to be vulnerable. So don't let self-consciousness rob you of opportunities because you don't want to be vulnerable. The story comes to mind of the widow with a jar of oil in the Bible, and she was poor, she had nothing, she had her one child, and she said to, I think it was Elisha, it was mixed Elisha and Elijah up, one of the prophets came to see her and asked for food, and she said, listen, we're about to eat our very last meal, we have nothing, I have a tiny bit of oil left and I have a little bit of flour, once we eat it, we'll eat it and we'll die. You know, she was very pragmatic. She wasn't missing her words. I think she was fed up, tired of life. And the prophet said to her, well, why don't you make me the cake first with your oil and stuff? I really hope I'm not mixing these stories up. I think this is the story. I think this is the correct word. I should have checked before I started speaking. But anyway, he says to her, go to all your neighbors and ask them for their jars, their empty jars. She's like, empty jars? He goes, yeah, just ask them for the empty jars and come back. Bring the empty jars here and start pouring from that jar of oil, which clearly she didn't use to make cake for him. So I did mix the story up. She starts pouring the oil and the jars just start being filled up with oil from from that tiny little bit of oil. That little bit of oil she had was enough to fill all the containers that her neighbors had given to her, and she was able to sell the oil and pay off her debts. Yeah, they were trying to take her son away is what it was. And I thought about her and imagine that this woman has lost her husband. She's in poverty. Everyone knows her story. Then she wakes up one day and she says, hey, have you got empty containers? She doesn't say, have you got a container of rice or oil for me? He's like, I just want them empty. No doubt the thought would have crossed her mind that they would see her as having lost her mind. And then there is also the part of just the shame of her circumstance where she had to even go and beg for stuff. It's one thing when you're begging for things, but when you're even begging for empty things, that's worse. But she braved it. She ignored the ridiculousness of the request, knowing what it would make her look like. And she didn't allow self-consciousness to hold her back. And the story about how this woman became an oil merchant is in the Bible, and I've left the link to the show notes in there. Question: has self-consciousness held you back? Can you look back and identify the moments where the thought of how you appear to others stopped you from taking the next step? I would really like to know. I'm sure I'm not the only one here dealing with that. But I want to thank you for being patient with me. It has been a while since I recorded. This has brought joy to my heart. Every time I do this, I feel like I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. And I'm happy. Next week, we're going to talk about another limiting belief so that we can grow together. And if you haven't subscribed to Living Inside Out, please do so on any podcast app. And also kindly review and give us a 5-star rating on the app that you're listening on, whether it's Spotify or Apple Podcasts or Google or wherever. But until next time, live from the inside out. Thank you for listening.